From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Venezuelan opposition leaders taken in the middle of the night. Strange happenings in Venezuela overnight as reports indicate key members of the Venezuelan opposition, including its leader Antonio Ledezma, have been taken from their homes by authorities. The wife of Leopoldo Lopez says her husband has also been taken from his home. No word yet as to where they might be. Ledezma is a former Caracas mayor and was detained in 2015. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, fresh off what he claimed was Sunday's successful election to create a new assembly, on Monday he mock-targeted U.S. financial sanctions directed at him, saying he doesn't take orders from the empire. Steve Mnuchin is the U.S. Treasury Secretary.
As a result of today's sanctions, all assets of Maduro subject to U.S. jurisdiction are frozen, and U.S. persons are prohibited from dealing with him.
Mr. Maduro vowed to radically change Venezuela's political system. The government said more than 8 million people took part in the election, while the opposition said less than 3 million actually cast ballots aimed at rewriting the constitution to give Mr. Maduro sweeping powers.
El Parlamento venezolano fue electo por 14.
The president of the opposition National Assembly, Julio Borges, called the vote fraudulent, saying the National Assembly, the country's parliament, was elected by 14 million people and it will continue to meet. H.R. McMaster is the White House National Security Advisor.
Maduro is not just a bad leader, he is now a dictator. The United States stands with the people of Venezuela in the face of this oppression. We will work with our partners to hold accountable all those responsible for the escalating violence and ongoing human rights violations.
This is VOA News. The U.S. military on Monday said it carried out a drone strike in Somalia that killed a senior member of the al-Shabaab insurgency. U.S. Africa Command said the strike took place on Saturday near Tuturu, a known al-Shabaab stronghold in southern Somalia's Lower Shabelle region. President Trump Monday said at a cabinet meeting the North Korean threat will be dealt with.
We'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. It will be handled. We handle everything. Thank you very much.
Late Friday, North Korea tested its second intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, the next day, Mr. Trump criticized China in a tweet, expressing disappointment that Beijing has done nothing about North Korea, insisting it could easily solve the problem. But China's UN ambassador, Liu Jiayi, the outgoing Security Council president, said China has little leverage with Pyongyang, and the two antagonists, North Korea and the U.S., must work out their disagreements, and that would include the United States toning down its rhetoric.
Talking about all options on the table, we all know what it means and what it contains. And also we see more deployments of strategic systems, acceleration in the deployment of strategic systems on the Korean Peninsula. For instance, THAAD. That is not the way to counter the purported testing.
Meanwhile, International Institute for Strategic Missile expert Michael Elliman said video appears to show that the North Korean missile broke apart during reentry, suggesting several more tests could be required. Just a few days ago, that Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif was forced to step down under corruption charges, but apparently a close relative waits in the wings pending the results of a by-election. If Shahbaz Sharif, that's Nawaz Sharif's little brother, wins that election, he will then take over as prime minister. In the meantime, the parliament will elect a longtime ally of Sharif to become interim prime minister. That's former oil minister Shahid Khaqan Abbasi, who is expected to easily win election in the 342-member National Assembly, which is dominated by Sharif's Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz Party. Opposition leaders have criticized the political maneuvering as dynastic and undemocratic. Islamic State in Afghanistan has claimed responsibility for Monday's attack on the Iraqi embassy compound in Kabul. It took several hours for Afghan security forces to kill three attackers. A fourth died in a suicide bombing. Interior Ministry spokesman Najib Danish said the Iraqi ambassador and staff were evacuated safely, but two Afghan workers died in the assault. It comes a week after 35 died in a Taliban attack on the city. This is Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.